Hello, boys and girls of the Good News Hour. How about another story? Well, I'd like to tell you a story now about mountain climbers. You know, that song you just heard was sung by a man of Uncle Sam's Air Force. He's not a pilot, but he's an enlisted man, and he forms a part of a choral group at Colorado Springs. And that's where I happen to be when I'm talking to you at this time. So I'm going to talk to you about the mountains. It was the morning of a festival. At an early hour, the villagers had assembled on the green lawns of the regions. Above them, the peaks of the mountains towered in majestic grandeur. The happy children were sporting in groups when a loud scream arrested the attention of everybody. A mountain eagle had swooped unperceived, and to the horror of the bystanders, rose with a child struggling in its talons. Of course, a very tiny baby, but that's the story. In the terror and confusion, it was some time before it was known who it was, and a deep groan burst from the crowd when it was found that it was a beautiful child, the sole comfort of a widow. "My child, my darling child," she cried, as wringing her hands in agony, with streaming eyes she watched the flight of the powerful bird, while the pastor vainly tried to comfort her. Several mountaineers instantly sprang to the cliffs, and all eyes followed them as slower and slower they ascended. They were real mountain climbers, but it was a task before them. At length, as the eagle disappeared beyond the abrupt precipice, they were seen to pause, and all but two gave up the attempt. At last, as rocks towered above rocks, these gave up the desperate pursuit, and a groan from the beholders told that all hope was over. With her face blanched by despair, her gaze riveted upon the precipice, the mother had stood motionless until now. But when she saw the pursuers falter, with a cry of agony, she sprang up the almost perpendicular ascent. Upwards, still upwards, she held her perilous way, until she gained the point which seemed to defy further progress, and there the cliffs rose high and bold before her. But where effort failed in others, she, impelled by love, nerved every power, and pausing not at danger, her bare and tender feet caught upon the lichens, and upward she pressed to the admiration and terror of the beholders. Once, and once only, she paused to glance below. When midway to the summit, what a startling, beautiful view greeted her eyes. Far down the winding valley was a dense mass of human beings. Not one was standing, not a head was covered. But old people and youths and children were kneeling in fervent supplication, while from the village the tolling bell met her ear, calling on the neighboring inhabitants to rally. At length, she gained the summit, and to her speechless joy, she beheld her child still alive in the nest. On rapid wing, the eagle was wheeling and circling above her. To grasp the child, clasp it to her bosom, and bind it to her with her shawl was the work of but a moment. Commending herself to the loving father, she turned to descend. Fearful had been the ascent, but more fearfully perilous seemed the descent. On reaching the difficult spot, with a dizzy brain and sinking heart, she paused, clasping her child to her bosom with a shudder. At that moment, her ear caught the faint bleat of a goat, guiding its kid down another way. With unspeakable gratitude to God, she crossed over to descend by that before unknown path, and she heard the distant shouts of joy from the villagers below. Soon, strong arms were by her side, and she was safe with her child. Love had borne her aloft, where alpine climbers could not go. Yet we're told the love divine goes far beyond. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, saith the Lord. That's found in Isaiah chapter 55. Then it says in Isaiah 49, can a woman forget her child? Yea, she may forget, yet will I not forget thee. That's what the Lord says. His is love beyond a mother's, faithful, free, and knows no end. The distinguishing mark of a Christian is that he believes that God so loves him, while others do not. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. It says in 1 John 4:16. The unsaved one thinks of God as an austere being, inexorable, marking down his faults and failures with grim anticipation of the day of judgment. He knows, perhaps, that the Bible speaks of God's love, and he would not think of disputing it, but in his heart he does not believe it. Do you believe that God loves you more than any mother ever loved her child? Ask your heart if you believe these declarations of his love. 1 John 3:16. Hereby we know his love because he laid down his life for us. 1 John 4:9. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And then it says in Galatians 2:20, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. How then do you account for your unbelief of love, so freely expressed and so dearly proven? Why is it that you cannot believe, try as you may? To the Scriptures we must turn, for elsewhere we can find no answer. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, according to Ephesians chapter 2. He holds in his control all those who disbelieve God, as securely as the eagle held the widow's child, and the fate to which he is carrying them is far more dread. What a sinister thought that Satan is controlling your every action as long as you remain away from Christ, keeping you occupied in some manner, either good or bad, with the object of preventing your soul from trusting in him. May God grant you repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that you may awake out of the snare of the devil, you who are taken captive by him at his will. According to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. Thank God there is a deliverer. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Like the mother in the story, he went forth in apparent weakness to rescue the object of his love from the grasp of the foe. But he went still further, even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. We can understand the love that caused a mother to do and dare for her innocent baby. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it says in the Bible in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. A mother's love took her beyond the highest point reached by alpine climbers, with all their strength and skill. In like manner, the Lord Jesus could say, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. He has accomplished that which no one else in all the universe could do, and finished the work of redemption to the perfect satisfaction and glory of God. In the joyful anticipation of having a redeemed people with him, he gave himself for us. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and boys and girls and fathers and mothers and all of my friends, my advice after this story and the lessons that we're reminded by it is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Thank you.